your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now, your host, Rick Moore.
And that's me, Rick Moore, the wonderful, the beautiful, the sexy Rick Moore here. Ladies, be careful, the voice over the airwaves. That's right, and a special thanks to everyone listening on Harrisonburg's 95.1. Good morning here on Oscar Day. Oscar Day will be, or that's not the official term, is it? It's the Academy Award Film Festival. Ben Knuckles?
Just the Academy Awards.
The Academy Awards. All right. And before we get started, let me take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be here. Blue Ridge has winter clothing from Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, and the North Face, as well as trail shoes from La Sportiva and Vast. The Blue Ridge staff has over 30 years of experience in keeping you warm and dry in any weather. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at Wintergreen in Richmond and at BRMS.com. All right, one of my favorite shows through the year, the annual Oscar Night Academy Awards 2009 here at WNRN, where, you know, Oscar Night is a big cultural issue in the United States. And for everyone who, it's obviously big here at WNRN, we have our regular film festival, well, that's not right, have our regular film reviewing here on WNRN. And so let's introduce our guests for the day. Ben Knuckles, you are the senior guest on our panel today. Ben Knuckles, WNRN film reviewer, AP, and
illinformedgadfly.com.
Illinformedgadfly.com.
Where tonight I will be live blogging the Oscars.
Thank you for driving down from the Baltimore area, is that correct?
Baltimore City.
Baltimore City. What a man.
West Side.
Just for this program. Tom Dumontier, I believe you're next in terms of seniority with this program.
Yep, I've been reviewing films here, I guess, since roughly 2001. I think it's my fifth Oscar show with you. Coordinating film reviewer for WNRN's 91 Seconds on Film. So,
thank you.
Always a pleasure.
And finally, but far from being least, Adam Greenbaum, owner of Visualite Theater and recently purchaser of Vinegar Hill Theater here in Charlottesville, the independent film man.
That's
in
right.
The room.
We try to keep Regal honest.
Good luck.
Yeah.
So we are going to be doing a little film action here. Films that were nominated and who might win, films that were overlooked, etc. Feel free to call up if you have a question or a comment. 979-0919. Sean is here today to patch you through if needed, but believe me, from past experience, the three guys in the room will have no trouble filling the hour with their comments. All right, guys, who wants to go first? I always like to go in order of how they're going to pop up during the television event, but we don't need to do that if you
well,
don't
Well, and we don't know what order they're going to pop up on the television event. We've been promised many, many surprises this evening, and I hope, really, for the sake of other people who are not obligated in any way to watch the Oscars and yet do so in the hope that they may occasionally be entertained. I hope for those poor folks and also people who have to get up and go to work tomorrow that they might hand out a few major awards earlier in the show.
I actually heard the first Oscar that's going to be handed out, it was blogged I think yesterday, I think is going to be the actress in a supporting role, which
well,
might be the most contested.
Yeah, that's the same, right?
But again, that's been done before. That's not a change. And it's always funny, the producers of the Oscars. And this year, Bill Condon is among the Oscar producers. He's an Oscar winner. For his screenplay for Chicago. And so he has promised a lot of changes. But every time the Oscars bring in a new producer, they always promise a lot of changes to the telecast, and yet we still get the interpretive dance and the medleys and the dead people montage and so on and so forth. There's just not much you can do. When you have to give away awards for best documentary short subject and best animated short film and no one has ever seen or ever will see any of these movies, there's nothing you can do to make that entertaining for an audience.
Well, let me start with this then. Since we'll start in a slightly different fashion, because we always seem to start with best supporting actor or best supporting actress, and then throughout the hour I'll toss out a question or two. Let me toss this
question.
Well,
our show is rapid fire and entertaining, Rick. We don't have this, you know, we don't have all this fat to trim. Anyway, good.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ben, for the quick push here on the Wake Up Call. As you mentioned, the standards that are out there. One of the standards that has been changed is the way that the musical songs are being done this year. And Peter Gabriel, a well-known rock artist
and a gadfly alternative, in his own right.
Correct. Alternative musician has refused or declined to perform at this year's Academy Awards show because instead of every artist being allowed to do their song in full, they're sort of taking the five songs and putting them together.
Kind of a medley?
Right.
A medley. Thank you for the proper word choice. So is that done in terms of cutting time? Is that done because of the new methodology for the program?
Yeah, it's,
you know,
the producers
why
who make
that,
that decision. It's Bill Condon and the other person whose name I don't recall who decided to cut the songs down in the interest of moving the show along. Honestly, sometimes the songs are good, and the performances of the songs aren't really the thing that drags the Oscars down. It's those other things I mentioned, like the fact that they have to give out awards in 24 categories, and so.
And some of the acceptance speeches can
acceptance speeches
be a little,
again, by people you don't care about. Even if you care about film and you are happy that your preferred nominee won the Oscar for, say, editing. Do you really care who the editor's agent is? No.
No, but isn't this the opportunity for these folks who usually get overlooked in all ways? I mean, the credits start and everyone gets up from their seat unless word has gotten around that,
but
oh, no, you really
be.
Need to sit through the credits.
As it should be, though. They're
That's true.
They work
from
in the
Academy
film industry. It's very
industry.
Hard to get jobs in the film industry. They're well compensated for their work. They don't need this manufactured love from the public.
Adam,
it's
let me
true.
Ask
and
you
then
about
people
it.
Aren't tuning in to see the editor. I mean, I think Ben has a good point.
They have luncheons for stuff like that, don't they?
I love the didacticism of the show too. They always explain the difference between sound mixing and sound editing, and for the best editing or best cinematography category, they're talking about how the editor chooses between takes and how the cinematographer puts a filter on the lens. Come on.
So you're saying that these should be added to the day before or whenever the week before when they do their little science and technology thing, and then they have someone who steps up and says, I hosted this program last week with some wonderful people.
Yeah,
and this
Jessica
is the quick
come
flash
out there
of who
wearing a really cute outfit and saying, I hosted this show and these people won and let's all give them a round of applause. That would be a good idea.
All right.
Maybe not Jessica Alba because she probably can't read the teleprompter.
Well, let's run through
ours. They have their one night.
That's
I mean,
so
why not
mean,
go
ben
on
Knuckles,
for 4 hours?
That is so mean. All right. Well, let's jump off this topic and actually get into one of the major awards. They usually cover the top six: picture, director, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress. And Adam, I'm going to let you pick first. Pick the topic that you would like to do. We do not feel the pressure to go in any order, and choose to do so if you would like.
Well, you know, I'm not going to start with best picture. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. But I don't know. I think
he wins the million. Oh, whoops.
Yeah, I think. Best director is a good one to start with, although I think it's pretty easy.
All right, cross out the nominees.
Danny Boyle for Slumdog Millionaire, Stephen Daldry for The Reader, David Fincher for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Ron Howard for Frost Nixon, and Gus Van Sant for Milk.
Who deserves to win and who will win if they are different?
I think they're the same. I think Danny Boyle will win for Slumdog, and I think he deserves to win.
Is this based on the fact that this is much, and, you know, guys, I proclaim no knowledge about each of these particular films and their background. I know a little bit about the film from what I read or saw, etc. But are you picking this because of some particular interest in the more independent film?
No.
The one that sort of rose from nowhere?
Well, I mean, in a sense, yeah. I mean,
lesser marketing?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? It had just as much marketing as anything else. That's one thing that Fox Searchlight does really well is market its movies, and it makes you think that they're not marketing them. It's very clever, insidious marketing. It lets audiences feel like they've discovered it themselves, but Fox Searchlight, they're brilliant marketers.
Well, they suckered me in. Then.
That's how they're the best of the so-called specialty distributors. They are the best at getting butts in the seats.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question.
So why does it deserve to win?
Well, I think of it's.
And again, we're talking about Danny Boyle,
right? Yes,
the best director.
I think the director is nominated. I think he, you know, did the best job. I thought the other films, you know, whatever their merits, the directing wasn't particularly inspired or interesting.
Also, think it's voting for Danny Boyle is voting for his style of directing. He's sort of a gunslinger, seat of the pants sort of guy, and just the touches that he gives to the film, whether it's the sequences and the editing on his part, or the use of the music, et cetera, and this kind of golden shimmering sheen that sort of bathes the entire film. It's beautiful to watch.
Is he your selection, Tom?
Yeah. I mean, that's who's going to win. He's won every other major award up to this point, and deservedly so. I mean, I have a place in my heart for Gus Van Sant, just due to the fact that this was a very conventionally made film, but you didn't feel that way necessarily watching it and through the experience.
Yeah, because his style felt fresh and loosey-goosey and improvised. It wasn't stilted like The Reader. Danny Boyle is a dynamic visual stylist. He is, and he's a great genre filmmaker. It's nice to see someone like Danny Boyle, who's made lurid, entertaining genre films, be nominated for an Oscar and clearly be the favorite to win. I'm happy with him as the nominee, as the winner. I think he's of the five filmmakers on the list. He has the second most talent. David Fincher is the most talented of the five, but few people think he knocked Benjamin Button out of the park. It was beautifully made. It was sometimes astonishing. There were sequences in Benjamin Button that were thrilling on every level, but the entirety of the 2 hour and 45 minute experience was somewhat enervating.
And it was a departure for David Fincher. I mean, the past films that he's done, whether it's Fight Club, Panic Room, Seven, and to do this this adaptation of the F. Scott Fitzgerald short story, it's pretty amazing.
And Zodiac was a beautifully directed movie too that he made last year.
Sure.
And he's Fincher. I think when we look back 40 years from now, David Fincher will be regarded as a director of the absolute first rank, and whether he has an Oscar or not, hopefully he will by then.
Who got left off?
The other four, not so much.
Who got left off the list that deserved? Ben, the gentleman with the gadfly website, I would think that you'd be quite opinionated.
Oh, I will. I'll say, and you may be surprised by the one I pick out here, but Andrew Stanton had made the year's most visionary film, and that was WALL-E. And the director is the man in charge. He's the one who decides what the movie looks like. And WALL-E created a world unlike we'd ever seen before on screen. It was a movie of substance. It was a movie of grit. It had ideas, and it had a very bleak and upsetting vision for the future. I think that certainly he was snubbed.
You could probably also throw Jonathan Demme in there for Rachel getting married. I mean, just a film with a lot of beautiful visual style. The music in that film is just entirely captivating. I mean, a beautiful film that, I mean, I would also think got snubbed on Best Picture. Just grief and celebration wrapped into one.
And it was an extremely personal movie. That's the other thing you look for in when you're looking at a director's work is does his personality shine through? And in that case, hard to see why Ron Howard has ever been nominated for anything, because his movies are entirely impersonal. And cold, Demme made Rachel Getting Married look like it could have been taking place at his house. It was suffused with his feeling and his taste.
Yeah, has a handcrafted quality to it.
All right, we are talking about movies for 2008 Academy Awards tonight. We have Adam Greenbaum, owner of Visual Light Theater in Vinegar Hill. We have Tom DuMontier from WNRN's 91 Seconds on Film. Ben Knuckles, aside from doing movie reviews here at WNRN, writes for AP and
IllinformedGadfly.com.
IllinformedGadfly.com. He'll be blogging live tonight while the awards go out. Let me give you...
And I won't be entirely sober either.
just for those of you who didn't catch that. Margits of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley cloudy tonight, 30 to 35. clear tonight, lows 20 to 25, a little chillier even in the valley. Sunny tomorrow, highs 35 to 40. Warmer over in Richmond right now. Clear in some of the area. In the valley, it's 37 and 39 in Lynchburg. Some clouds in Richmond at 41 and in Charlottesville where it's 41.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, and let's thank Restaurante Al Dente for their support. Now open in the Frank Ix Building, Restaurante Al Dente serves authentic Italian fine dining for dinner, 5:30 till 9:30, Tuesday through Sunday. Now at Restaurante, it's lunch, and on Sundays, European brunch, beginning at 11:45 with music from the Olivares Trio. That's Restaurante Al Dente, always with plenty of parking in the Frank Ix Building here in Charlottesville. WNRN also wants to thank Catherine Greiner, Brenda Clement-Jones, and Molly and Jim Crowell for contributing to the station's fall fun drive. Because of people like them, you have Acoustic Sunrise on the air in this area, as well as Wake Up Call on Sundays. And we also want to thank program underwriters like the ones you're hearing from this hour, like MoneyWise Payroll and Adam Greenbaum's Visual Light Theater. So stay tuned, tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and other programs you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the upcoming spring fun drive. All right, back to Academy Awards 2009. With the gentlemen in the studio, Adam Greenbaum, Tom DuMontier, and Ben Knuckles. We'll go across the room. Ben, you're next. Pick your award to be given out.
I'm going to go with a category that is interesting because no one knows what's going to happen at it, both historically and this year, and that is Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, which Tom says will be the first category tonight, which, again, would not be a change from what we've seen in the past. So way to go, Oscar producers, for shaking things up. The nominees are Amy Adams for Doubt, Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Viola Davis for Doubt, Taraji P. Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. Her third nomination, all in the supporting category. Of course, she won in 1992 for My Cousin Vinny, and some people were so shocked that they thought that Jack Palance read the wrong name, which of course is impossible because there's only one name. And the reason she won was that there were four Brits nominated and one American, and she was the one American. So... anyway, nobody seems to know who's going to win this. There isn't a groundswell of support for any one nominee of the five. Penelope Cruz is the safe bet. She's it's her second nomination. She was nominated 2 years ago for Volver, which was a better movie and a more complete performance. But she is very vibrant. She provides a jolt of energy, and she's become a much more confident and compelling actress in her 30s. She had a very stilted and awkward introduction to Hollywood. She was not comfortable speaking English and was often ill at ease in front of the camera, but she has matured nicely and certainly would be a more or less worthy victor, but I don't think she's going to win.
Isn't this a category where, and I think other than the Benjamin Button movie, where seems like people really haven't seen much of this movie, any of these movies, and am I wrong to say that that's regularly the case? Or am I just an ill-informed guy behind the microphone?
These movies are all in... Vicky Cristina Barcelona did well for a Woody Allen movie because it was actually good, which, you know, people have come to associate Woody Allen with rapt incompetence. Doubt did okay, didn't do
great.
But
I'm talking about top 10 movies with lots of popular media press.
Well,
and
sure.
It seems to me that in this case and in years past, that's often
who's going to get nominated as Best Supporting Actress? You know, Gwyneth Paltrow for Iron Man, Maggie Gyllenhaal for The Dark Knight. These roles are vapid in the extreme. They're uninteresting, and there's no justification.
I liked Iron Man.
Well, sure. Sure, a lot of people liked Iron Man.
It was a good Netflix rental.
Yeah, I thought it had a lot of welding in it. You know, he was welding, and then he welded again, and then he would go back and do some more welding, and then you would have him flying around in a suit, and it suddenly wasn't Robert Downey Jr. anymore. So really, that whole thing was baffling to me. But no, there are rarely great supporting roles for women in special effects late in the summer blockbusters. They are usually relegated to playing supportive wives and girlfriends, and so.
But I'm also talking about movies that people have even heard of. I mean, and I'm talking about the general public. It's one thing for The Wrestler because it's all about Mickey Rourke making a comeback, and Curious Case of Benjamin Button. But if you're not if you don't own the movie theater, if you're not writing for Associated Press or doing your own movie review blog website, if you're not reviewing movies for a radio station on a regular basis, how many of these movies on a regular yearly basis are things that the average public can even go see in their town?
Well, they, yeah, no, it's a fair point, but it has to do with it's. I think you're trying to assess blame for this. Are you trying to?
Of course, that's part of what the program's all about.
I don't think that there's anything to blame other than the splintering of the culture and the multitude of entertainment options we have now. Movies don't penetrate the public consciousness at all the way they used to.
And for better or for worse, this is kind of a litmus test for what people will end up renting. You know, which is the great equalizer. You know, Netflix, maybe the movie's not coming to your town and you missed it, but it comes on Netflix and you can, you know, have it in your home.
I also think that more and more of these movies are coming to your town. I mean,
Visualite Theater and Vinegar Hill.
But even beyond that, you have a town, like Harrisonburg, you know, with a 14 screen Regal. Eventually, these movies will pop up just because they have to fill the screens.
They pop up in January. They pop up in December through February, and the rest of the year they have Watchmen's coming out in March, so that'll be on 5 screens in a lot of multiplexes.
Jonas Brothers in 3D.
That continues through the summer. You don't see art films in big multiplexes in the summer. You only see them when they have been nominated for Oscars.
Well, that's true, but I mean, all of these films, you know, have or will have shown up.
I think these did all show up in either Stanton or Charlottesville this year. So,
All right, well, let's...
People had their chance.
Again,
I'm
you have to remember, Rick, there is no word of mouth anymore. Movies don't build audiences the way they used to. They are either marketed heavily upon their release and do big business right out of the gate, or they disappear. You know, it doesn't... There are movies that, like Slumdog Millionaire, that are released in a limited scope, and then Fox Searchlight, which released it, does the marketing to get people aware of it, but it just doesn't work the way it used to. Movies are not a unifying popular art form anymore because there is no unifying popular art form. It's splintered. So,
I guess back to the category.
Yeah, because I'm taking up time.
But
who do you think? I think Viola Davis is going to win. It will be a mild upset, but it's she has one scene, and it's a very good scene. It's probably the best scene in the movie. It's 10 minutes long. She is technically proficient. She's moving. I think that because she has this one great scene, it lingers in people's minds. Otherwise, I would say Taraji P. Henson has a chance, just because Benjamin Button is going to miss out on most of the major awards, and because she is the most kind of vibrant presence in it. She provides some actual entertaining moments amid all the kind of overwrought theatrics of that
Tom,
picture.
Adam, your beliefs?
Well, my pick would be Marissa Tomei. I thought it was the most...
Your preference.
My
yeah.
preference, right.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was the most haunting performance, this kind of, you know, aging stripper coming to that realization. There was something...
Were you haunted by the nudity?
No, I mean, it was poignant as this kind of, you know, shadow figure of Mickey Rourke, this kind of, you know, another person who was kind of leaving their prime.
Two very different performances, Marissa Tomei and Viola Davis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is hard to
I mean, they're really at both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
and both...
And Tomei is much more naturalistic, which usually, typically I prefer. Davis is kind of pinched and theatrical because the whole movie was that way. But again, she's very good, and it's not like it's, you know, she's too broad for the camera. She's great in close-up, so.
Yeah. So do you think he'll win, Adam?
You know, I have a hard time separating my preference from who I think will win.
Okay.
So
you have to do that. You have to look at this. Like, you have to be a mercenary, man. You have to be
well,
cold.
I know, but I'm not a critic.
You're not a Weinstein.
I'm not a Weinstein. So I'm going to go with my preference,
which is
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, she's not going to win. You know, she already won an Oscar. Yeah.
Yeah, your odds really go down significantly once you win.
I mean, Diane Wiest won two supporting actress Oscars, and, well, it's kind of shocking when you think about it, because, really, Diane Wiest, you know, she's not exactly in demand, so...
Wasn't she good on Law & Order?
Sure, she was, but, come on, Law & Order, you know.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Penelope Cruz. You know, she won the BAFTA for this, and she's only the second actress that's been nominated for an Oscar in two different languages. And I thought she was just fantastic as this this muse that is both she could destroy you and at the same time fulfill, you know, every fantasy.
You're right, and no question. And of course, yeah, you're talking about she does half this part is in Spanish too, and
right.
The other part is heavily accented English. But sure, okay, yeah, two languages, I guess so.
All right, we are talking about Academy Awards night here, 2009.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
We also want to take a moment and thank Star Hill for being with us today. Star Hill bringing Joan Baez to the Paramount Theater on March 3rd, and Annie DeFranco plays at the Paramount on March 4th. Tickets now on sale at theparamount.net. You can find them at Plan 9, the Paramount box office, and by calling 800-594-TIX. That's 800-594-TIXX. We got Ben Knuckles in the studio, Tom DeMontier, and Adam Greenbaum as we talk about movies from 2008, Academy Awards 2009. Tom?
Yeah.
Let's move on as I try not to take up too much time with my ridiculous questions.
That's okay. The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role: Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder, Philip Seymour Hoffman for Doubt, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight, and Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road. And
it's supposed to be a pushover, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be Heath Ledger. I mean, his performance, I think, is deserving of a nomination. He would have gotten a nomination whether he was alive or not, but whether he would have won, you know, that might be, you know, a bit of a question, because it seems that every time Philip Seymour Hoffman, many times that he's nominated, I know for Charlie Wilson's War he did not win, but
he won for Capote, though.
Right, he won for Capote, but it does seem his role in Doubt would be one that the Academy would end up gravitating toward. And Josh Brolin and Robert Downey Jr., they'll probably be remembered more for, you know, other films that they made this year, as far as, of course, we talked a little bit about Iron Man, and Josh Brolin, of course, for playing W. But
really? I mean, you think? People love Milk. People have seen it. It's a great movie, and Brolin is amazing in it. I please show some love to. I mean, he's not going to win, but my goodness, he's transcendent.
I think he is great, but I'm saying, I guess the larger public will remember W as opposed to,
I guess,
to Milk.
Not a lot of people saw it. People were like, "Oh, really? No, I have to deal with him being president. It's bad enough."
No, I mean, I thought Josh Brolin was amazing as this sort of this man that was torn in two with gravitating toward, you know, Harvey Milk, but at the same time his constituency and his family and his upbringing and other things like that, and you know, he sort of contains the entire crux a bit of the film Milk, but I think,
and that haircut, my goodness, it was great.
Adam, let me ask you, as someone who gets a lot of the with Visualite Theater and Vinegar Hill, I would think that you bring in a lot of movies that are often overlooked. Seems to me this category regularly has people who are overlooked. Who missed out on their nomination this year?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I don't have a ready answer.
I could give you three.
Yeah, I could give you a couple. Bill Irwin for Rachel Getting Married.
Yes.
Again, that had the best ensemble acting probably of any movie this year.
I'd say James Franco or Emile Hirsch. Maybe one day Emile Hirsch will be recognized by the Academy, at least with a nomination.
Right, both for Milk. Exactly. Yeah. No.
I don't know. I don't know.
Certainly, I you know, you could throw in any of Bill Irwin or either Hirsch or James Franco and throw out Michael Shannon, who I can only imagine Sam Mendes saying, "No, more, give me more, be crazier, you're not crazy enough, I want you to be really, really crazy."
Do you think everybody's a Green Goblin or something?
Dreadful.
And hey, usually this is a category that leans to the lighthearted, you know, roles.
It can, Downey has. Got nominated. You know, it certainly, yeah, comic performances are more likely to be recognized in a supporting category. One of the very satisfying Oscar victories of recent vintage was Kevin Kline winning for A Fish Called Wanda in one of the most inspired comic performances you'll ever see. And certainly Downey is, I don't know if he's of that caliber, but he's up there. It was a very sly, clever performance. And what was great about it is he satirized the sort of acting that normally wins awards. He was Russell Crowe and Daniel Day-Lewis rolled into one. You know, I don't break character until the DVD commentary. It was really good. As for Heath Ledger, I can only say I'll guarantee he's going to give the shortest acceptance speech.
So dirty? But I was going to ask who will come up and collect the.
Well, it's been that's a closely guarded secret. Certainly, it could be his. Former girlfriend, the mother of his daughter, Michelle Williams. Mm-hmm. But the producers have said that it will be someone close to him, so the logic suggests it would be her. And again, and I think that the Academy would rather an actor accept an acting award than to have, say, the director of the movie.
What about his parents?
Who knows? Maybe everyone will come up on stage. It could be very moving. And of course, it was... you know, glibness aside, it
and the Academy likes those moments.
We were sad to see him go. You know, Heath Ledger was a major talent. I didn't like the movie, but he certainly got my attention every time he was on screen.
All right, we are talking about the Academy Award event tonight, 2009. 8 o'clock, is that right?
Yep.
On channel?
ABC.
ABC. So whatever.
And hopefully Regis will be on the red carpet again, messing up people's names.
Yeah, you can probably get on TV Guide Channel 3 hours before. And
yeah, wherever Joan Rivers is, that's where you should go. Yeah. That's where the fun.
11:33 here on the Wake Up Call. Ben Knuckles from WNRN, Associated Press, and IllInformedGadfly.com. Adam Greenbaum is here today. He owns Visualite Theater and Vinegar Hill Theater. And Tom DeMontier, the coordinating, what's the proper term?
Film reviewer.
Coordinating film reviewer. Here
can we make your title longer?
Yeah. I'm a reviewer that, you know, makes sure other reviews are also in place.
He's the informed guy.
He sends me a text message saying, make up your mind, Ben. What movie are you going
right,
to review?
I do, before we move on, I do want to ask this. A caller, and I have no clue what this is about, but I'm going to read what was written down because I haven't heard of this film, and so maybe I'm just digging myself a hole. Schenectady, New York by Charlie Kaufman. Why is this being ignored by the Academy? This is from Julius in Lake Monticello.
That's a good question, actually. I thought it was a terrific screenplay. It was a difficult movie for people.
It was a film I was going to see, but it was only around for a week.
Well, you know how...
So,
well,
totally missed it.
Is this a Netflix film?
Adam says it's a terrific screenplay, and that's an interesting point, because you know how some novels are called unfilmable? Like, you know, Ulysses. You could never make a movie of Ulysses. It's unfilmable. This is the first screenplay that has ever been unfilmable.
Well, it was difficult to film. I actually liked the movie, but, I mean, it had a lot of flaws, you know, most notably that it was hard to connect with, and it was hard to follow. But it was, you know, I love movies that try to attempt something, even if they fail. I much prefer that to, a great execution, a serviceable execution like Benjamin Button, which I find, you know, very derivative of other films. Something that, you know, really tries to do something different always piques my interest. So I enjoyed it. I thought it should have gotten some notice, but I can, you know, see why it would get shut out.
Charlie Kaufman has a big cult following. And, I mean, I think that's
it's a cult. It's not that big.
That's right. Moderate cult following.
Unless it's, never mind. I won't.
All right. I'm becoming much like the Oscars themselves, and we're gonna run short on time on some of the other ones. So let me toss a few things out here real quick.
But anyway, the reason the Academy wouldn't nominate Schenectady, New York is because a lot of them didn't see it, and the ones who did see it didn't understand it, and even some of the ones who did understand it probably didn't like it. So there aren't that many left.
So rent it from Netflix and make your own decision.
Or don't.
All right, I'm going to toss this out. No, please, no follow-up to this, and then we're going to take a quick break. Caller heard that Heath Ledger's daughter will accept the award if he wins and has signed agreement not to sell the statue.
That's a little bit inaccurate. According to the Academy, the Oscar will go into her possession because she is the closest living relative. And she will indeed, it will be held for her, and then when she is 18, she will have to sign something that says she's not a pledge not to sell it or to offer it back to the Academy for a dollar.
All right, let me do this, guys, because we're going to run out of time here if I'm not more on top of things. We do have Ben Knuckles here, Tom DeMonte, and Adam Greenbaum as we talk about tonight's Academy Awards. It's 11:37.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Are you an organ donor? Making the choice requires facing mortality, but those who have experienced it firsthand as donors or recipients say the tough decision reaps life-affirming rewards. Current Major League Baseball and former UVA player Ryan Zimmerman steps away from the plate and sits onto The Hook's interview hot seat. And the economy affects our local arts as well. The Hook, sorry, no shuttle service at this time. All right, let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be on the air today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon it's Drew Thompson in the studio for Les Temps Perdue. If French isn't your thing here at the station, that means the time's gone by. And WNRN, that's 90s and 80s alternative music. Tune in for it next at noon. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back in action with the movie guys. Let's see, my choice, right? I'm going to pick Best Actress. Tom, you go first here. Read the folks and go forward.
The nominees for actress in a leading role: Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married; Angelina Jolie for The Changeling; Melissa Leo for Frozen River; Meryl Streep for Doubt; and Kate Winslet for The Reader. Odds-on favorite definitely is Kate Winslet. A lot of people think she's in the wrong category. She should be in the supporting role category, but you know, someone
else irrelevant
can argue about that. it's her sixth nod, and I think she's definitely due a win. Meryl Streep won the SAG and the Critics' Choice Award for this as the caricature-ish a little bit, Sister
That's
Aloysius.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
And Melissa Leo for Frozen River, which is a film that I really enjoyed. I thought it was the film Paul Haggis always hoped to make.
And, nice, yeah. Oh, so it's like three times as good as anything he's ever done, yeah.
Angelina Jolie, The Changeling, she looks great as a flapper in that cloche hat, but, you know, it's not just for hatters everywhere.
But then she starts talking.
That's true.
It's all over.
And Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married. This is sort of the lone, I think, nomination for this.
The screenplay was nominated. The original screenplay by Sidney Lumet's daughter, Jenny.
But as far as for recognizing any of the actors, this is...
It wasn't. Good Lord. That's amazing. I was certain that she had been nominated because, it's a no-brainer, but she wasn't.
Who wins?
Oh, who wins? Kate Winslet.
But you hated this movie.
Oh, I hated
it. The Pedestal.
Oh, it was dreadful. Dreadful. Laughable. Preposterous. She was naked in it, though.
Oprah likes her breasts, so means anything.
Kate Winslet, the poor girl has gotten naked so many times. It's time to give her... The Oscar is a naked guy. Kate Winslet's naked all the time.
Right.
It
wasn't Harvey Keitel this time.
Yes.
So who wins based on whether or not they got undressed? You seem to love Rachel Getting Married.
I did, but I didn't. Yeah, sure. Anne Hathaway.
Should she win?
No. Definitely not. My favorite in this category wasn't nominated. Sally Hawkins for Happy Go Lucky. Just a transcendent performance. A character you'll never forget.
Mike Lee does an upbeat film, and it really
upbeat, but interestingly upbeat. How hard is it to be upbeat to remain optimistic and when the world just wants to grind you down? Terrible things happen to her, and she laughs, and you can see her forcing the laugh out and forcing herself to move on. It's really moving. It's wonderful. It's too bad that
Tom or Adam
didn't get it.
Who got left off your list?
Why don't you go, Tom?
Oh, I enjoyed. I like Kate Winslet's performance in Revolutionary Road. Ben thinks it's overacted, but I thought it was formidable. I mean, as a performance, I thought it at least should have been recognized. I liked her more in Revolutionary Road as compared to liking her in The Reader anyway.
The Reader, she also gets old, so that's helpful, too.
That's helpful to win an Oscar, too.
She gets naked, and then she gets old. And she cries.
I mean, being unattractive and being kind of beat up can win you an Oscar.
You know, she's a murderous Nazi who learns to read Chekhov. It's so moving.
The ill-informed gadfly must be one of the harshest. I mean, when you read this, does it shoot out bits of glass to people?
Not when I love something.
I see.
I would prefer to write about movies I love, like Happy Go Lucky, for instance.
Ben Knuckles here, WNRN, Associated Press, and illinformedgadfly.com, live blogging during tonight's Academy Awards. Adam Greenbaum, owner of Visualite Theater in Stanton.
Yes.
And Vinegar Hill Theater here in Charlottesville. Tom DeMontier, the coordinating movie reviewer here for WNRN. All three of these gentlemen have been on the program for several years now talking about Academy Awards. All right, quick, who's going to win?
oh, this, wait, yeah, Kate Winslet's going to win.
Everybody says Kate Winslet?
Yeah. You know, there seems to be...
Where's the argument?
It's maybe a little closer,
The Oscar punditry seems to think that that it could be that Meryl Streep has a shot and that Melissa Leo has a shot. And my goodness, I would love to see that, really, because, if anything, just because she's the erstwhile Sergeant Kay Howard on Homicide, the best cop show ever made, she's wonderful in the movie. I find it hard to believe that she would win for it. I know that Sony Pictures Classics was nice enough to send DVDs to everyone in the Academy so that she could at least get the nomination. But really, I just don't see anyone but Winslet winning because, I grudgingly admit, bad as the movie was, it's not that she was, it's not a bad performance. It's, it's a kind of no-win role. There's no way to do it where it makes any sense, either logically or emotionally, but she does her best. Tom noted, the nun played by Meryl Streep in Doubt is very much a caricature. Angelina Jolie, no one seems to be particularly in a hurry to reward that. And I think Anne Hathaway, I think that she was good. I think that other actresses also played that role just as well. And she is an ingenue, which ingenues tend to win Best Actress, but that's the thing that Kate Winslet has also been. She's 33, and so many actresses in her generation have already won Oscars, including Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, Reese Witherspoon, Halle Berry. Julia Roberts, every bankable leading lady of her generation has won an Oscar, and Kate Winslet is more talented than most, if not all, of them.
All right, 11:45 on the wake-up call. Let's move to another category, guys. We got 15 minutes left to do the two remaining categories. Who wants to take on Best Actor? Read out the
I'll read
nominees.
Best Actor. Richard Jenkins, The Visitor, Frank Langella, Frost Nixon, Sean Penn, Milk, Brad Pitt, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke, The Wrestler. My pick is Mickey Rourke, both as preference and I thought it was an incredible performance. I know a lot of people say they kind of mitigate the performance by saying, well, it really mirrors his life, as if it's that easy to come out there and perform your life. But it was just it was both understated and powerful and it's kind of role that really stays with you far beyond any of the other performances.
Yeah, in the early 80s, Mickey Rourke burst onto the scene with tremendous, sensitive, charismatic performances in both Body Heat and Diner. And pretty much after that, he started to shoot himself in the foot, and by the end of the 80s, he was completely burned out and trying to be a professional boxer. He's had a kind of steady return to respectability. There have been some good directors who've been willing to take chances and work with him. Apparently, he was impossible to work with also. He turned down a lot of stuff and burned a lot of bridges, and this is the problem for Mr. Rourke. Even though he has won quite a few awards leading up to the Oscars, he may have trouble winning over enough votes in the Academy to overcome Sean Penn, who, shockingly, is kind of a choir boy by comparison. Sean Penn is known for being prickly and known for not really being a self-promoter and known for his politics. But on film sets, he's never been accused of being unprofessional. Yeah. So he has the goodwill of the Academy, and he has it for a performance that is flawless.
This is the one where there's going to be a lot of drama involved. As we said earlier, usually you win an Oscar and your odds go down. So in a way, that's counting against Sean Penn. But when you've had other compelling performances of straight men playing gay men, as far as Tom Hanks for Philadelphia or William Hurt for Kiss of a Spider Woman.
Was Tom Hanks really compelling?
Well, you can argue that. But well, playing those roles in a somewhat convincing way has some mileage. And I'm not trying to reduce Sean Penn's performance by any means. I'm just trying to handicap it a little bit. But as much as I loved Sean Penn's performance and how strong and earnest he was, I thought that I think that Mickey Rourke will win, and rightfully so. As much as he's probably burned bridges, the Academy does like to create drama, and I think there would be a standing ovation and a lot of drama if Mickey Rourke ended up winning. It would be a little more of a spectacle.
Oh, there'd be a standing ovation if Penn won, too, because Milk is a movie that the Academy believes in. They believe in its message. Yeah. There are plenty of gays in the Academy.
And it
was a timely movie. So I think that there's plenty of sentiment either way. It's a fascinating category. It's two great performances. I would be happy for either one, and I would be disappointed for either one. I suppose that it is... There is a slight parallel to actually Sean Penn's first Oscar. Just because you don't necessarily think Mickey Rourke is going to be here again, you don't know. He's fantastically talented, so maybe he will. But in 2003, Sean Penn was in what was very regarded to being a very close race with Bill Murray, who was nominated for Lost in Translation. And a lot of people thought that was Bill Murray's Oscar to win, and were disappointed when he didn't. And Bill Murray himself was very disappointed. He took it harder than perhaps anyone I've ever seen, because Bill Murray said that this was the best movie he's ever made. It was the best work he had ever done. And I think he knew that was his chance to win an Oscar, and he didn't get it. And the same thing might happen to Mickey Rourke.
Mm-hmm. All right, 11:51 here on the Wake Up Call as we in our last set for tonight's Academy Awards 2009. We still have Best Picture to do with Adam Greenbaum, Tom DeMontier, and Ben Knuckles. Let me take a moment and thank 45fix.com. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting, to decks and siding, that's 45fix.com. Immediate no obligation estimates available anytime. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And let me remind you, you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. All right, guys, just before we get into Best Picture, very briefly, and Adam, I'll let you go, or Ben, I'm going to let you go first while the other gentlemen have moments to think about it. I'd like two movies that aren't on this list of Best Picture that or really receive very little talk that people should rent from Netflix or any of the other stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Only two. Brief conversation about it, because we got to get the Best Picture here in the last few minutes of the hour.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about a couple that we haven't mentioned on the show here today already. We've talked about Rachel Getting Married.
30 seconds.
Tell No One was my pick for the best movie of 2008. It was a French thriller. It was released over the summer. It was like the best, it was like Hitchcock had been risen from the grave and directed one of the best things he's ever made.
And number two?
The Fall, really cool, visually stimulating, imaginative, inventive, period piece, that was shot in 24 countries over a period of 4 years, just like nothing you've ever seen.
Don't forget, you can go to SevillePodcast.com to get the podcast. Tom, you're next.
Adam?
Sure.
Adam?
Obviously one film we have talked about but is not on the Best Picture list is The Wrestler, which I kind of feel should have been included. when you have the best actor and the best actress and a film that holds together that well, it's kind of overlooked.
Second one?
The Visitor.
Okay.
Yeah, Visitor, and by the way, I'm really thrilled for Richard Jenkins. Talk about actors I love. Richard Jenkins and Frank Langella getting nominations in the same year is pretty
Tom,
cool.
Your two movies that people should rent?
Definitely Frozen River. As far as that was a film that I found terrifically moving, and it was very well crafted film. It was simply done and looked like it was made on a shoestring, but still absolutely fantastic. And gosh, when Ben told me to go see Tell No One, and it came to the Visualite, it's an amazing film that has gotten very, very little buzz. I guess you'll be able to get it in a month.
March
on DVD?
31st, and it did do well as you know where it played in art houses. It did make more money for its distributor than for its American distributor than perhaps. Would have been expected.
But we need films like that make us.
All right, guys. We got
Best
a little less than 6 minutes left to do Best Picture. Ben Knuckles.
Okay. Nominees for Best Picture. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Frost Nixon. Milk. The Reader. Slumdog Millionaire. And the Oscar goes to Slumdog Millionaire. Yay! Standing ovation. Slumdog Millionaire is the Barack Obama of movies. It is the right movie for the right time. The economy is tanking, and people are losing their jobs, and yet there is still a sense of hope that this too shall pass, and Slumdog Millionaire manages to express all those sentiments, even though it is set in a foreign country, but one that certainly has some of the problems that we also see.
Obviously, that's who you think will win. Is that who should win?
I'm fine with it. I think Slumdog and Milk are the class of the category by far. I don't think either of them is really a kind of transcendent motion picture, but I think they're really good. They do what they do really well. Milk is one of the best political biopic docudramas ever made, and Slumdog is a good, fun, redemptive, inventive story with a lot of pizzazz and a lot of it has some grit. It's not entirely a fairy tale. It doesn't shy away from the problems that afflict modern India. In fact, it just throws all the poverty and the prosperity together and into one little stew. And it certainly tells a kind of predictable and obviously intentionally uplifting story that is not really realistic. But it's it works.
Adam, Tom.
I mean, this is a kind of against all odds film, a Slumdog Millionaire. I mean, for all practical purposes, this film almost went straight to DVD, and the fact that it didn't is pretty amazing. And
that's in the United States, by the way. Okay. It had international distribution; it just didn't have U.S.
Yeah, and I think in our times, as far as I guess the current economic crisis, et cetera, it has a very positive message, and not just for positive sake, but also there's the hardship and the pain. A lot of people say that this it paints with too bright a brush. There's not enough poverty, but I think one could take exception to that argument. And just simply the spirit of the film. I mean, it ends in a beautiful dance, right with the credits. And it's well spirited. It's the music is unbelievable. And Danny Boyle, hits a home run with this one. And again, I mean, we're not mentioning any of the actors in it necessarily, and they're not familiar names. But as an entire piece, it's very strong. But I do have, I'm very partial to Milk as well.
Well, I agree. I loved Slumdog. I thought some of the actors were overlooked, actually, especially the game show host. I would have loved to see him nominated as Best Supporting Actor.
And the actor who plays the cop who interrogates our young hero, Irfan Khan, is one of the best actors in Bollywood. He's really very soulful and distinctive. Not that he would have been nominated for this.
Adam, are any of these films you know, to give you the plug for coming on here. Any of these films returning or initially making their visit to
Well, we have. We're currently showing Slumdog at Vinegar Hill and at the Vigilite, and we're also showing Milk at the Vigilite. The Wrestler is coming in the next week or two to the Vigilite. And you know what? There's a lot of great stuff coming. You know, we didn't talk about the best foreign films, but Waltz with Bashir, which will probably win, will be coming to Charlottesville very soon.
Because these movies get a big, I mean, they get a big push when they get initially nominated.
Actually,
but,
that didn't
but I would
really
think
happen
that,
this year. But
that also, once they win, even
right.
even more so.
Ross
right?
Nixon tanked completely. No one went to see that, and I can't blame them. It's, I mean, it's
a couple good documentaries in
All right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Man on Wire.
Last quick question. It is 11:59 here in the wake-up call. Economics. Are people going to have the big fancy outfits on this year?
It's been scaled back. Some of the parties have been scaled back a little bit. I think there's a there's a sense that that too much conspicuous consumption will turn viewers off. And certainly Hollywood itself is going through a rocky time with the threat of an actor strike. There aren't as many movies in the can for 2009, so it could be kind of a lean year.
All right, Adam
Scaling
Greenbaum.
Down the gift baskets.
Adam Greenbaum here from Vigilite Theater in Vinegar Hill. Tom DeMontier from WNRN, 91 Seconds on Film. Ben Knuckles, check him out live tonight on illinformedgadfly.com as the Academy Awards progress through the evening. Next week, folks, we'll be doing a show on how the economics are affecting the elderly. Be here for that. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank
Adios.
You.
Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.